Today's scripture reading is from the Epistle to Romans, chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Now, prior to the scripture, Paul explains that the commandments are summed up in the words, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He then goes on with this following urgent appeal. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from the sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery, not in licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." This is the word of the God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Today's sermon is the last one of this sermon series on Methodist heritage. We have been talking a lot about John Wesley and his preaching, his sermon, and his ministry, and his belief. And today, it is the last one. You made it. Yes. The goal of this sermon series is to learn a little bit about our DNA, who we are as Methodists, so that we may understand what happened in the early Methodist movement, and we may question, what was it? What was that happening at the time? And what was it they looked at their scripture and how they lived their, gospel and practiced them, so that we might experience a revival of our Christian faith in our own heart, in our church, and in our community. So last week I talked about John Wesley traveled so many places. He traveled about 290,000 miles. It's a lot. Everywhere he went, he preached. It is all about God's love and grace. God's grace is given to you. God's grace is free for you and me. God knows you by your name, and God welcomes you and loves you, and God can completely change you upside and down. That's the message. And it is all about being born again, born anew. And he invited people to accept the love of God. God is loving you and me all the time. The thing is, do we accept the love of God? Do we allow God to come to in our lives, to allow God to love us? And then the next step is love God in returns. And as I talk to our children, he invited people to love God and love themselves and love the other people. And then he invited people to live gospel. So here, I'm not saying believing gospel or knowing gospel. I'm saying living gospel. Living gospel is the last step of our faith journey. Living gospel doesn't mean we become holy or perfect. We have so many things happening in our lives, in our work, in your family, in your relationship. Actually, we cannot be perfect. Living gospel means, it doesn't mean perfect, it means we surrender our lives to Christ. And we accept our own salvation by loving God and loving neighbors. It is a way of life. It is a way of life to cultivate a relationship with God. As Christians, living gospel, it means living together with our neighbors, praying for one another, encouraging and empowering one another in Christ, and supporting one another to be restored as a human being God wants us to be, and to be reconciled to God. It is not just about our spirit, but also about our mental, emotional, physical and financial condition. And my sermon today is all about that, living gospel. So we talked about two senses of holiness last week, inward holiness and social holiness. Inward holiness is our pure heart in our intention and our mind to pursue our relationship with God, to be closer. Every day we want to walk close to God. We want to be more like Jesus every day, more and more, you know, reading the Bible, meditating, praying, singing, and having the communion. That is inward holiness. And social holiness is our passion, our good work to help our neighbors who have brokenness in their lives, in this broken world, in many ways, saying, maybe I can do something. I'm not going to be able to solve all the problem in this world, but I may find one thing or two that I can do. And I'm going to do that. I can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the social holiness. So inward holiness and social holiness, these two senses of holiness, they are also called evangelical gospel and social gospel. So of evangelical gospel, you can imagine what other fellow Baptist and Pentecostal people are seeking to be holy in their work. And you know what? We have that in our DNA. We have that in our DNA. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, about 100 years ago, Presbyterian at the time, they called us Methodists. Methodists are Baptists who can read. They are really passionate preaching and living the gospel. We have that in our DNA. We ask for God's wisdom and guidance by the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, lead me. Lead me in your way. I surrender my life to you. Empower me to live by your will. And That's the half of the gospel we have. The half of the gospel that Jesus gave us. God concerns our brokenness. And God wants to do something in our life. Just like that. God concerns other people's brokenness as well, in this broken world. And we have to watch and read the news around us. We hear every day a lot of news, and sometimes we say, I'm really tired. Don't you feel that? I do that almost every day. I'm really tired of hearing gun violence, domestic violence, and human trafficking, and refugees, but it's real. It's our brokenness around us and across the country. And we hear war and conflict. And these things happen around us. We cannot simply close our eyes. And you might have met people who says, so you believe in God. If God really exists, if God is really working in this world, show me the evidence. Why do we still have violence? Why do we still have poverty? Yes, I have met a lot of people saying that. Sometimes it's challenging. We need to know that. My answer is you. You and me. God created you and me, and God is now surely asking you and me right now, why do you not do something in your daily lives? And I feel God is crying and working in our world, and God is calling God's people to restore these broken people in this broken world. It is you and me whom God is calling into God's restoring ministry. We are God's partner and we are God's instrument with whom God restores this world. It is who we are. And what's interesting is, I mean, in the early Methodist movement, Wesley, he brought both inward holiness and social holiness together. He was an excellent preacher, evangelist, preaching and inviting people to come to their personal holiness, salvation. This personal salvation is meant to change them upside down so that they can be involved and engaged in this word, bringing real hope, God's hope, salvation, restoration, and redemption into this broken world. In the Bible, when Jesus was asked to summarize the Bible and summarize 6,000 religious rules in his time, he replied, simple rule, love God and love your neighbors as yourself. Then let me ask you, love God and love your neighbors as yourself, is it evangelical gospel or social gospel? Is it just one of them or is it both of them? Jesus asks us to pursue both evangelical gospel and social gospel together. John Wesley went on not only to challenge the people to memorize these two great commandments, but also challenged people with three simple rules to do the work in this world. And we call that three simple rules: do no harm. Sometimes he called that do no evil. The second one was do all good you can. And the last one was stay in love with God. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Someday I'm going to do a sermon series on this one. It's really important. It is like we pray, God, help me. Help me not to do evil, not to hurt people, not to harm anyone or myself. And that leads us to desire not only not to do evil, but to do good work in our lives. And as we are striving to avoid evil or harm and do all the good work we can do, we find ourselves longing to grow in love for God. Love for God. And as we grow in love of God, we find we become aware of the things we have done before, we might have hurt, but we didn't know. We find a great strength in Christ to avoid the evil. And these three simple rules are all connected, and they help us grow in Christ, and they lead us to our journey of sanctification. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. So last week, the scripture reading from James, it says, what good is it if you say you have faith but do no have work? It is like James saying, do something. Do something for your neighbors. My works show you my face. And it echoes today's scripture. And at the time, there were so many widows, orphans, and the poor people who had difficulties in many ways. So James, Apostle James, he kept talking about the work, work, and work. It was needed, and it was social gospel. But at the time, Apostle Paul, we know him, he seems to be talking all about faith, more than work. And one day he was asked, okay, Paul, you talk a lot about faith. What about work? Why don't you talk about work? Then Paul replied in the Bible, it is my call to make people know Christ and the love of God for them. They have to be saved by God's love. So now he was talking about evangelical gospel. But Paul continues to say You know what? I'm collecting all the money wherever I go from the churches I'm doing my ministry. Actually, he was an excellent fundraiser. Did you know that? Whenever he made a ministry, mission trip, he collected all the money and threw the work to help the people in Jerusalem, widows and orphans. He was an excellent fundraiser. He was doing both evangelical gospel and social gospel. 200 years before Wesley, Martin Luther, the reformer, he looked at James. And Luther, he didn't like that James that much. He was kind of skeptical because of the Catholic Church in his time. At the time, Catholic Church said, you will be saved by your work, by your good work. Technically, it is not what Catholics believe in their core belief, but at the time, it was how they practiced. So Luther said, no. We are not saved by work, but by grace through faith. Then he focused more on faith. But he did not underestimate work. He said, without your work, your faith is not going to be complete. Your work is a reflection of your faith. So do work. He said that. And 200 years later, John Wesley valued this scripture reading again from James. He wanted to make a balance between faith and work, between inward holiness and social holiness, evangelical holiness and social gospel, saying we are not saved by our work or by our faith, but we are saved by God's grace alone, and God's grace is already given to you and me. It's all about God. So he said, let us live gospel with our faith and work together. For sanctification, that's the core we need to know in our faith journey. John Wesley mentioned a lot about means of grace, 5 steps for making disciples, and real happiness in God, good stewardship with money, preparing the end of Christ's coming, a lot about that. But the core of his message was Jesus and our lives in Jesus, living gospel. Let me remind you of Kingswood, a small mining town. John Wesley went to so many places in England and America, so many places, we know that. He kept preaching, until 3 days before he died. Somebody said, even on the last day on his bed, deathbed, he was preaching. He couldn't stop himself, but move, preach, and love. But Kingswood, that small mining town, was like his second hometown. He spent so many times, so many years there. And many people said Kingswood was a hopeless place. It was a place where nobody wanted to go. Nobody found hope. But he loved the people in Kingswood. He felt their hunger for gospel, and they were so precious to him. So he knew them very well. They worked very hard and died early, and their children remained in poverty. They didn't have any education or hospital. So John Wesley found they needed a good education, at least an opportunity. So what he did was he built a school. And he found the people need a hospital. So he invited good people, good doctors from London to this small mining town, this hopeless mining town. And his work changed this small town, everything. That is in our DNA. In this country, the United States only, there are more than 300 colleges and universities, hundreds of grade school, middle school, and high school, and hundreds of hospitals, nursing homes, established by Methodists. That is who we are, seeking evangelical gospel. We need to have fire in our heart. And social gospel. We may say, living gospel. Living gospel. Not learning gospel. Not believing gospel. Living gospel. And it starts with God's love. With God's love for each one of us. So here is Christ's invitation to you and me. We are made for a relationship with God. We are made for a relationship with God's people. And let me tell you, we need to allow God to love us. When things happen in your work, do you still feel God's love? When we have a trouble, when we have pain, when we are struggling with something in our family, work, relationship, do you still feel God's love? Do you still allow God to love you? Do you still have the fire in your heart? We need to allow God to love us and love God in return. Loving God, that's the first of the great commandments. And Jesus said the second one is also the same important, just like the first one. We are meant to be restored, changed, and renewed so that we might love ourselves and our neighbors. All of us, we are called to be God's children, God's servant, to be instrument of God's redemption, reconciliation, and healing in your life, in my life, in this world. It is all about, it is not ultimately about John Wesley. It is about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Then we need to ask ourselves, am I a Christian? Are we a Christian? Are we a Methodist? It is all about love, love, love. And let's remember the love with God's grace. And allow God to love you and extend the love of God with humility. It's all about that for you and me. Amen. Who doesn't want to be perfect? Who doesn't want to be good, excellent, amazing in your work, in your life, in your relationship, in your ministry? We want to do that, but sometimes we don't find ourselves perfect. We make mistakes. We make trouble. But still, it is the fact God loves you, you and me, and God has planned and vision in our lives, in our church, in our ministry, in a way we walk with God. With all the gratitude for God has done in our lives, in our church, and our community, let us give generously with the hope that God has in our lives. Amen.